Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful at your service. It's good to continue to be with you. Welcome aboard if you just tuned in. If you've been listening already, thank you for joining us. We thank you for staying with us. We consider that a sign of high intelligence, and you're gonna get a lot smarter because Jim Cerbescu is back in the building, so to speak, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust. He's the CEO and co-founder of the outstanding organization Profiles International. I'll get him to tell us a little bit about that in a few minutes. But he's also he's a member of the Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen, with the Sales and Marketing Executives Academy of Achievement. How about that? And also the co-author, along with his partner, Bud Haney, of the book 40 Strategies for Winning in Business. And more importantly, he's our good friend, Jim Cerbescu. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's nice to be back, Jim. It's a pleasure to talk to you this morning.
It's good to have you back, especially, Jim, since you want to help us get 08 kicked off just the right way, helping us understand how to think about wealth. Now, I think this is important because, you know, a lot of people talk about what you got to do to be wealthy, but you want to help us learn how to think about wealth, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's the first step in being wealthy, is the process of achieving it in your mind. I mean, I meet people that that honest to goodness come up to me, and the first thing they say is, "Man, are you ever lucky?" That's because I happen to have a little money. And then others
that's
that
pretty
say,
funny.
Well, and then they want to know if my father was rich. And that's even funnier.
Yeah.
And I began to say to myself, I meet more people in my life that never seem to get anything they ever want in their lives. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. I wonder why this problem exists. And the problem exists simply because of the way we were conditioned as children and the process we went through and never really developing our attraction process, our minds that attract the great things in life that come to us. I just meet I meet other people in life where everything always seems to happen to them that's always great. And when I talk to them, it is simply a matter of how you look at wealth, how you look at money.
Well, I think it's not only how you look at wealth, but how you look at life.
Well,
I mean, don't you think so? I mean, if you have a negative outlook on life, you know, I don't think you're going to be as likely to have a positive outlook on wealth.
Well, you can't have a positive outlook on wealth with a negative attitude on life.
But I mean, you know, I love what Henry Ford is attributed. I understand it's attributed to him having said, and he said something like this: that whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Isn't that a great one?
Yeah, and I think that Napoleon Hill said it another way: whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon, must inevitably come to pass. You know, everybody's had a theory or a philosophy. What I've been able to do in my life is teach a lot of people to become goal setters, and in the process of becoming goal setters, they begin to realize that it's not a complicated process. Then I've taught them how to change the way they think by utilizing affirmations, which is a real important step. Affirmations are simply self-talk, teaching yourself to believe in yourself.
Having positive self-talk, not toxic self-talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you change that, Jim? If you have a tendency to use toxic talk with yourself, can you turn that around?
Yes, you absolutely can with positive affirmations. What you do is you write a list or a series of affirmations. Like when I first started, I wasn't much of a self-starter in my life. So my first affirmation was, I am a self-starter. Now, I said that aloud with my conscious brain working, which is the filter, and feeding it into my subconscious brain. And so what I basically did is the first time I said, I am a self-starter, my subconscious absorbed it, and my conscious brain said, "No, you're not." and then it's a fact. And so I had to keep saying that to myself over and over and over until finally my subconscious overcame my conscious mind.
So your conscious finally said, "He's not going to give up."
Yeah, that's right, man. I'll tell you, I used to be kind of grumpy, didn't think much of life, so I started saying I love life, and my conscious brain would say, "Boy, you got a crummy one." and you know, it was a struggle and a battle. But if you talk to yourself, and I read my affirmations to this day, I've been reading them for about 40 years. And when I get up in the morning, I still manage to get on my knees. Not as easy anymore as it used to be. Say my prayers and read my affirmations. Go to bed at night, say my prayers, read my affirmations.
Yeah.
Well, and it's worked like a charm for me, Jim.
Well, and you got the proof's in the pudding, and you sure have done that. Jim Cerbescu, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Jim, as you know, is a co-founder and the CEO of Profiles International. He and I will be right back with some wealth factors that he wants to give you. Right after these messages, stay with us.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Cerbescu, co-founder and CEO of Profiles International. Jim, tell us about Profiles.
Profiles International is just a little company that we started in 1991 that has grown into an organization, that's my partner and I, Bud Haney, that sells assessments as one of our main product lines, along with integrated talent management systems. And we sell them in the United States and 118 other countries.
Wow.
We're translated into 26 languages, if you count the 8 Spanish versions. Otherwise, it's 18 languages, and we do business on a worldwide basis.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's a great success story.
It's been a very, very exciting.
So give me what if I have 8 employees? Would I do business with you?
Absolutely, you would.
And how would we do that?
Well, we would simply discuss with you what the possibilities are for and what you're interested in doing. Basically, our basic concept is we work with people because we think people are your number one asset,
right.
And we want to make sure that people are placed in the right jobs, even in a company of only 8 people, to make sure they're placed in the right specific jobs. Then we want to make sure you, as a manager, can effectively work with those people and make them more effective. And then we want to make sure that we help you in the goal-setting process to make sure that everything that you want to achieve in your business, you can align all of your employees
some
up
of the,
to do
some
that.
Some of the things that have helped make you who you are, right?
Well, I think that's probably true. We take our own medicine.
Yeah, exactly. So give us your website, Jim.
It's profilesinternational.com, www.profilesinternational.com.
So check that out, folks. Talk to us about these wealth factors.
Well, I put together a whole series of the way kind of rich people think versus the kind of the people without money think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made a decision that I would start to train people that they should set goals in their life, and they should never set more than 10 at a time, and 5 of those 10 goals should revolve around. And the reason I did that is because it's so hard for people to think about themselves in a wealthy concept because they've never experienced it or seldom have ever experienced that kind of concept. And so I created these wealth factors. And I say rich people versus poor people. I don't mean destitute people. Mm-hmm. When I say poor people, I mean people that don't think wealthy is what I think I'm really saying here. Like
right.
I say, rich people, they believe that I create my life, and poor people believe life happens to them. And that's kind of a problem.
One of the things that I think, the way I think of that is I think of myself as my life is me and the world. It's me and the world. Not me against the world, just me and the world.
Well, you see, that's a positive mental attitude because what that is that's calling on the mind power of the entire world to support you. And the world means we're a team.
Well, but I also know that the world isn't always going to the world is indifferent to my very existence sometimes. And so what I try to think about is how can I meet the world at least halfway? Instead of waiting on the world to come to me, I want to go out and engage the world out at least halfway, maybe beyond halfway.
Yeah, I think beyond halfway is a better way to look at that. I really believe that the way you think about the potentials and possibilities of the world, if you want to look at it that, or of your business, or of yourself, or of your family, or of your relationships in life, the more positively you look at those and the more you see the potentials and possibilities in those, the positive potentials and possibilities, the more you'll attract them to yourself.
So wealth factor one is who do you think is in control of your life? Are you in control of it, or are you letting the world control your life?
That's right. I create my life.
Right.
I don't let life happen to me.
How about wealth factor number two?
Yeah, well, wealth factor number three is rich people play the money game to win. Poor people play the money game not to lose.
Huh. We've seen that. We see that in golf tournaments, don't we, where a guy has a lead and he protects it, and he loses because he doesn't play to win. He plays to protect.
Yeah, probably the single difference between Tiger Woods and other players and he's taught a lot of people this attitude since he's been playing in the golf in playing golf is this boy plays to win.
Right.
He's not out there just to protect a lead. And I've seen him lose as a result of playing to win big.
Right.
You know, and when he loses, when he really, really looks bad, it's when he falls into that protection zone. Mm-hmm. And what happened, and it's proof that people that are positive can sometimes get caught in a negative trap.
Yeah.
And
but
you
got to know a little bit about what you're doing, though, so you don't you aren't being foolhardy, though.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what, I'd rather find a positive foolhardy person than a negative foolhardy person. But positive people, they tend to see potentials and possibilities that other people don't see. They relate the normally unrelated. And that's what wealthy when people think in the terms of wealth, they're relating things that don't go together. Like how would you ever put a slide in a swimming pool? Think about it for a minute. Who invented a slide that goes in a swimming pool? They were in playgrounds for years. You slid off the end of them, you dropped in the dirt, right? And all of a sudden, somebody came along and decided they were going to put a slide next to a swimming pool and gave a whole new opportunity to the slide business. Amazing, isn't it?
Wealth factor number three, you talk about the difference between commitment and, let's say, involvement.
Yeah, I think so. Rich people really want to be committed to being rich, and I think that's a factor. And poor people just want to be rich. They're not committed to it. You've really got to be totally and truly committed to creating wealth for yourself in your life.
When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Jim if when he says wealth, does he just mean money and stuff? Right after these messages, 10 till. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. Jim Serbescu is our guest. He's the co-founder and CEO of Profiles International. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. When you get there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us. Jim Serbescu is our guest and co-founder and CEO of Profiles International. That's profilesinternational.com. Jim, you talk about wealth factors, and I'd like for you to come back and talk some more about some of the others that we aren't going to get to today. But here's a question for you. Sometimes when I see young people with little children and I talk to them a little bit, I say to them, you're rich. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't get it. So when you think of wealth, I know a lot of times you're talking about money and stuff. But when you think of wealth, tell us how you really define wealth.
Well, first of all, you know, wealth is an absolute feeling. It's a state of mind, and it doesn't have to have anything to do at all with money.
Thank you.
The only reason I talked about it in terms of the way I talked about it today is because I know that there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening to this program right now, and I know that money needs to be a very important part of
yes.
what they do to keep their business alive until it gains the momentum that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to sustain that business, they have to become a whole, caring, sensitive, learning, developing, intelligent human being. And that's a well-rounded individual that can converse with people effectively, that has intellectual curiosity. I think there's all kinds of things that become a factor of wealth in our lives that make our success feeling or our wealth feeling that much more impressive. Things are one thing. Relationships with people and the way you live your life is something completely different.
You probably heard of Dave Longaberger, the guy who created the basket company.
Yes, I did.
And he's dead now, but one of the great quotes from him is he says that your greatest accomplishment in life will depend upon and how well you do in life will depend upon the relationships that you build.
Yeah.
And I think that those are wealth factors, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Every relationship that I have, I value. I'm serious about that, Jim. I mean, I make lists of people that I know so that I make sure that I pick up the telephone and call them from time to time to sustain relationships. I have relationships with high school friends. I have one relationship, because I'm getting a little older, some of these guys are dying on me, but I have one relationship that, honest to God, I knew this boy when I was four. His name is Richard Roth.
Yeah.
And he's still a very, very good friend of mine. We talk weekly, and we grew up two houses away from each other.
Right.
So
I know that it's important. Obviously, for entrepreneurs, it's important to create financial security for your family, maybe to create financial wealth. But I like the way you've talked about these things, and in your points that you've made today, that when we've talked about wealth, you haven't just said money. Because you and I both know, Rich, Jim, that money and stuff, if you can't be happy without money and stuff, you're not going to be happy with money and stuff.
Yeah, let me say this. I don't quite agree with that, Jim. I think it's a lot easier to be happy with money and stuff than it isn't. Because the conflict that's created in your life and the struggle that's created in your life takes your mind off of wanting to build the kind of relationships you have.
Right.
It's a lot easier to develop yourself when there isn't financial pressure in your life. Get
what
that
you're
out
saying
of your
is that money and stuff gives you more options.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And that makes it easier and easier and easier. Now there comes a challenge, and that is the hold off the arrogance that comes with people that have money. You need to work on the concept of I'm humble. I may have a lot of things in my life, and I'm a thing guy. I like nice things. I like airplanes, and I like flashy cars, and I like big homes, and I like to travel, and I like my wife to wear wonderful jewelry. All of that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, if I lost my humility and I lost the roots of where I came from, and I didn't understand what it took to get there, and that's just something that made her happy or just something that made me happy, I'd lose everything I have.
Absolutely. I agree. Hey, Jim, we got more to talk about. Will you come back another day?
I'd love to.
It's been fun to having you here today. Thanks for bringing your great ideas to us.
Have a good day.
Let's have a good 2008 together. What do you think?
You got it. That's a grand plan.
Jim Cerbasky, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be another day. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.